Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Happy holidays and happy football Sunday, everyone. We have a full day of football that doesn't include our favorite team, which means there's no better way to spend the day than winning all day long on Prize Picks. So let's get after it. But before we get to our selections, just remember that you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code PACKADAY. You get $50 instantly, play your first $5 lineup, and you're good to go. Here are my picks for this Sunday. I've got four of them that I'm going with. I'm going to start with Mike Evans, greater than 80 and a half receiving yards against Dallas. This one, to me, I do not trust Dallas's secondary one iota. Baker Mayfield is slinging it right now. There's not a ton of options within that Tampa offense, so I do think that Mike Evans is going to be a target. Now, it's somebody that Dallas is certainly going to try to take away, but I still think that Baker and Mike Evans are just on a different level right now, and I just don't see Dallas figuring out a way to stop Mike Evans in any appreciative way. So I am going Mike Evans, greater than 80 and a half receiving yards. Feel good about that one. The second one I'm going with is James Cook for Buffalo, fewer than 65 and a half rushing yards against New England. Maybe this is just me hedging my bets here because I have James Cook in my semifinal game and I just have a feeling he's not going to do well. Like, James Cook is probably going to get, it wouldn't surprise me if he had 60 rushing yards, 40 receiving yards, and a touchdown in this game. I just think New England's defense is actually a little bit underrated, in my opinion, and I think they're going to focus on stopping the run. Now, not that you can necessarily just make Josh Allen beat you either, but I don't think they're going to really allow James Cook to get going in this game. I expect New England to be a little bit frisky in this game, and for that reason, I'm going James Cook, fewer than 65 and a half rushing yards. I'm also going Tyrone Tracy, greater than 50 and a half rushing yards against Atlanta. Listen, that New York quarterback situation is brutal. They have to find a way to run the football. Now, their offensive line has not been very good. However, Tyrone Tracy has been very good, and they are going to get him going early and often in this game. And I like his opportunity to come up with over 50 and a half rushing yards. I feel like that number is really, really low against an Atlanta defense. So I really, really like this one. Tyrone Tracy, greater than 50 and a half rushing yards. And then last but not least, Mark Andrews, more than 2.5 receptions against Pittsburgh. These Pittsburgh-Baltimore games end up a lot of times with physicality, and you need those big time first down conversions. You need a little bit of toughness over the middle. And that's where Mark Andrews, I think, is going to live in this one. So I'm going Mark Andrews, greater than 2.5 receptions. So just to recap those four selections, Mike Evans, greater than 80 and a half receiving yards, James Cook, fewer than 65 and a half rushing yards, Tyrone Tracy, greater than 50 and a half rushing yards, and Mark Andrews, greater than 2.5 receptions. As always, you don't have to trust mine. You can go out there and find your own selections. There are a ton of amazing options out there for you with this week's slate of games, so there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into this all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today on this Saturday. We've got Saturday football. We've got college football playoff, a whole slate of games on Sunday, and then, of course, Packers, Saints on Monday Night Football. But appreciate you being here right now to check out this episode. A really fun one lined up for you today. We're going to be going through all the moves of 2024 and really looking back at the offseason that was, and really the offseason that helped Green Bay to get to this point right now. We're going to be looking at the coaching changes, the decisions that they made to let players go, what players they brought in, and how it worked out, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. And again, kind of the journey to get to this point right now, as they've got three games remaining on the season before they get to the playoffs, hopefully a long playoff push. But it's really fun to kind of look back at, see what Goody got right, what maybe they got wrong, the coaching decisions, all of it. So we will get through all of that today, just kind of as a fun retrospective here to end kind of 2024. And again, as we start looking ahead to hopefully what is a fruitful playoff run for Green Bay, before we get there, a couple shout outs really quick. First of all, shout out to Nate Bershinger for becoming a brand new Pack a Day podcast YouTube member. Nate, thank you so much for that. If you haven't checked out the memberships yet, make sure to do so. Also, if you could like, subscribe, comment, give a 5-star review, those things help more than you know. And we really, really appreciate it. Also, today's the day, Milwaukee Admirals. I'm going to be hosting a Q&A prior to the game. The full details and the link will be in the description in the notes of today's show, so you can check that all out. Robert Brooks is going to be there. George Kuntz is going to be there. Ed West is going to be there. I believe I'm still doing the human hockey puck. I'm going to be, again, hosting a Q&A before the game, so check that out. Again, the full, all the details, to put it that way, is going to be in that link and in the description, so make sure to check that out. Today's show is presented by Habish Habish and Rotier. Let's get through that injury report. The only change in the injury report on Friday was that Kool-Aid McKinstry for the Saints was off the injury report. He was a full, not only a full participant, but just off the injury report altogether. And the only other noteworthy item from an injury standpoint is that Matt LaFleur in his press conference said that there is a chance that Luke Musgrave could in fact play this Monday night against the Saints. If he would, it sounds like it would be just a little smattering of plays to kind of get him back in the fold. Remember, they have an open roster spot, so they would not have to make a corresponding move to activate him to the roster. We'll see if that gets done. But as of right now, as Matt LaFleur said, there is a chance he could play, and we'll kind of monitor that as the course of the weekend goes along. That full injury report, Jaire Alexander still a full participant. Corey Ballantyne and Luke Musgrave were limited. Javon Bullard and Quay Walker still did not practice. For the Saints, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Bub Means, MVS and Chase Young did not practice. And then Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave were limited. Again, the update there is that Kool-Aid McKinstry for the Saints no longer on their injury report. All right, now let's get to our main topic for today. And that is our 2024 offseason recap. And I think it's only appropriate that we start. We're going to go position by position through this, but it's only appropriate that we start from a coaching standpoint and a coaching staff standpoint, I should say. The first really big kind of move that they made this past year, this past offseason, was moving on from Joe Barry. And then you had this whole not super lengthy defensive coordinator process. Remember, there was the rumors for a bit that Christian Parker was going to be the guy, and he was interviewed. And there were still some rumors, I think, that I forget which Ravens for, I think it was Denard Wilson. Maybe there was one of them that there was rumors that that was their top choice, and ended up that they got a guy that was really not on anyone's radar in Jeff Hafley, head coach of Boston College. I would say so far that's worked out pretty well. Now, I'm not crowning anyone quite yet. We're still pretty new into the Jeff Hafley era. We're 14 games in. I think you have to be pleased with things or where things are at overall. Work to do still? Yes. Are there things that still need to get cleaned up? Absolutely. But you're talking about statistically pretty much a top 10 defense in the NFL. And that's kind of what we've been asking for, right? Now, in games against Detroit, Minnesota, Philadelphia, has it felt like that against the best of the best? Not quite. So work still to be done. Now, injuries may have played some part in this, like Jaire Alexander in some of those games. But like overall, regardless of all of that, you have to feel pretty good about what the Packers have done defensively under Jeff Hafley. It's definitely improved. And I don't know of anyone that's too upset that Jeff Hafley is the defensive coordinator instead of Joe Barry. It has felt like a pretty significant upgrade. It's a more aesthetically pleasing defense. I think it's a better way to play. It's more aggressive in attacking. It is much better disguised. There's just so many things that they are doing better in 2024 than what we saw really at any point during the Joe Barry era. Again, not crowning anything, not saying job done or anything like that, but it is definitely a step in the right direction. Also, you have to remember, they also brought in a new strength and conditioning staff. So went away from the old one, brought in the new one. I have no idea how to evaluate that. Like, the injuries have been fewer. Is that due to the strength and conditioning staff? Maybe. Is it luck / happenstance? Maybe. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine, but they did make that change as well. And then they did bring in some other assistant coaches like Anthony Campanelli, the linebackers coach, amongst others. But the big change here was going from Joe Barry to Jeff Hafley. And I think everyone would agree that has been a net positive for the Packers so far. At quarterback, and just in general, quite arguably, the biggest move that the Packers made the entirety of the offseason was re-signing Jordan Love to a 4-year, $220 million deal. It seems like forever ago, but if you remember, Jordan Love actually did hold out, or hold in, I guess, at the beginning of training camp, was not out there to begin with. and then eventually did sign that four-year, $220 million deal. It got done. At the time, it made him the richest quarterback, richest player in NFL history, and it has since been surpassed by Dak Prescott. If you add in the year that was already there, it's a really good deal for both sides. This deal already has aged pretty well. Now, the injuries early on for Jordan and some of the just unsteady play in large part due to the injuries, maybe at first, there were still some questions. I think if you look at everything Jordan's been doing lately, it's really difficult to be anything but pleased with the deal, with him being the franchise guy. And Matt LaFleur has echoed that lately by saying this is the best that Jordan Love has ever looked, even above and beyond what he did in that stretch at the end of last season. I liked the last season probably just a tad bit more, but we're nitpicking at that point. It's right there. They're hand in hand. He looks fantastic, and I'm really excited to see what he can do through the remainder of the season and going into the playoffs. But that contract is so far aging very well. They drafted Michael Pratt in the seventh round. Remember, the seventh round of this year's draft was considered to be basically advanced undrafted free agency, meaning a lot of people going into this draft felt like it was about five rounds deep, where it's usually seven. And anything sixth and seventh were kind of UDFAs, just they were actually picked because you had to pick somebody. Michael Pratt fell to the seventh round. A lot of people thought he was going to go third, fourth round. I think Green Bay was happy to get him in the seventh. That did not work out. They released him at the end of training camp, and he is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer on their practice squad. He has been elevated a couple different times. He has not played, but he remains in Tampa. That has not worked out again. He's a seventh round pick that is no longer on the team. That's not exactly what you want. Not the end of the world, but that didn't exactly go according to plan. What they did do, however, was trade a future seventh round pick for Malik Willis before the start of the season. I think it's safe to say that's worked out pretty well. In fact, they took Tennessee's best quarterback from them ahead of the season for a seventh round pick. He's better than Will Levis. He is better than Mason Rudolph. He's better than any quarterback that they have in that organization. And Green Bay has three more wins because of it. If Malik Willis isn't, if that's Sean Clifford, if that's Michael Pratt, if that's no-name QB off the street, I don't know that Green Bay has wins over Jacksonville, Indianapolis, or Tennessee on this season. Maybe they pick up one of them. They are fighting for their playoff life if they don't win those three games. Even if they only win one of them, they are still fighting for their playoff lives. It is an entirely different way that this season would have gone, and it's an entirely different season without Malik Willis. It's a crazy thing to say. He was vital to winning those three games. And kudos to Matt LaFleur and company for having him and getting him to be successful. But a ton of credit has to go to Malik Willis as well. And a ton of credit has to go to Goody and company for finding him, bringing him in, and getting him to Green Bay so that Matt LaFleur and company could get him to that point. It is a beautiful marriage of a front office that knows how to find these players, that a coaching staff can help find their way to be successful. That's what good franchises do. You take a player who was a highly thought of top 100 draft pick at one point, didn't work in that system in Tennessee. They're willing to jettison him for almost nothing. Green Bay liked him. They went back, I'm sure, to their old scouting notes, decided, hey, this is somebody we think can be an improvement from Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt. They trade a future seventh for him. They bring him in, and then Green Bay's coaching staff takes over, and Tom Clements and company, Matt LaFleur, builds an offense for him. And all of a sudden, like in those games, like you're talking about potentially at times almost look like a real legitimate starter, which is not nothing. It's really impressive and incredible what they were able to do in that entire thing. So that was a huge deal. And then releasing Sean Clifford was the right move. So Jordan Love, new contract, drafting Michael Pratt, trading for Malik Willis, heck yeah. Releasing Sean Clifford, the right move. Overall, very successful quarterback offseason. When you give Jordan that contract and trade a seventh for Malik Willis, who goes on to help you win three games, I would say that's a pretty successful offseason. Running back. They release Aaron Jones, which was very controversial at the time. They bring back A.J. Dillon. I want to talk about that just for a second. That has not worked out because A.J. Dillon got hurt. And I even think right now, if he's healthy, I'm not sure where he fits in. I think he's kind of the fourth guy. Although I will say Matt LaFleur did seem to have a legitimate playbook in place for A.J. Dillon, and they were very excited about having Dillon back. So maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe Chris Brooks isn't a Packer for whatever that would mean. But I think that deal at the time to give him that 1 year vet minimum deal that actually paid Dillon more, but cost Green Bay less against the salary cap. It was a vet minimum deal towards the cap, but they paid him a little bit more. I thought that was a really unique and smart deal for Green Bay. There was just no real downside in doing it. Now the downside is if he gets hurt, you still have to pay him and there's still a lot of money going out, but that's a deal you make every single time. Somebody who knows the system, former second round pick, has had some good years in Green Bay, and you can bring him back on a vet minimum, basically sort of deal. It was a no-brainer. I liked Green Bay thinking outside of the box with that deal. It didn't work out due to the injury, and maybe it wouldn't have worked out no matter what, and maybe they're better off this way. I think there's an argument to be made there, but overall, I think that was a smart move to make at the time. It just didn't exactly age the way I think that they were hoping it to due to the injury. They let Patrick Taylor go, who is now the starting running back in San Francisco due to all the injuries over there. The other big move, bringing in Josh Jacobs, 4 years, $48 million. That has aged incredibly well. They drafted Marshawn Lloyd. That's just a big mystery box, an unknown. It hasn't gone well so far due to a plethora of injuries and appendicitis and everything else, but that's just an unknown, a complete question mark, a complete lottery ticket, where we'll get more information on that in 2025. And then finding Chris Brooks after cutdowns, bringing him to the practice squad, and then quickly elevating him, not only elevating him, signing him to the 53-man roster was a really smart move as well. I think overall they navigated running back incredibly well. The Aaron Jones decision is very, very tough. He's having a nice year in Minnesota, but it's tough to argue that, like, it's not hard to argue, I should say, that Jacobs has been better so far than what Jones has done in Minnesota. Lloyd, a question mark, and then I think the Brooks deal, pretty darn good as well. So overall, I'd say win at the running back position. Wide receiver, they did nothing. They just kind of sat back. They did let Samori Toure go, I guess, but they really did nothing at the position. They didn't need to do anything. They sent Christian Watson to UW-Madison to help with his injury issues, and that has seemingly helped a ton. So that's a plus, but other than that, no real notes at wide receiver. Tight end, they let Josiah DeGuara walk, or H-back if you want to call him that. That was the right move. He hasn't done anything in Jacksonville. They found John Fitzpatrick midseason, but this is still primarily Kraft, Musgrave when he's healthy, and Sims. And the rest is kind of there. Tyler Davis, they brought back and he got injured right away. But overall, they didn't need to do much at tight end. And just moving on from DeGuara was probably the right move there. Offensive line, they finally moved on officially from David Bakhtiari. They had to due to the injury issues. They let John Runyon Jr. and Yosh Nijman go in free agency, Runyon to the Giants. Nijman, I believe, to the Panthers it was. They cut Royce Newman and let Caleb Jones go. They drafted Jordan Morgan in the first round, Travis Glover and Jacob Monk on day three of the draft, and then they signed Andre Dillard to a vet minimum deal, a grab bag of stuff. The Bakhtiari deal had to get done. Letting Runyon go was the right move. He signed a big deal in New York. It hasn't really paid off for them. Yosh Nijman, same thing. He hasn't really done anything in Carolina. Cutting Royce Newman was the right move. Moving on from Caleb Jones at this point, if year three you're not ready, it's the right move to make. Drafting Jordan Morgan, time will tell. Tough to tell right now due to the injuries that he sustained and just kind of, you know, being behind the eight ball with not being able to get out there even in practice as much as you would have liked from him. But he's got a bright future ahead of him and is likely going to be a week one starter next year. And Travis Glover and Jacob Monk are day three developmental picks along the offensive line, which Green Bay's done extremely well with over the years. We'll see if they can progress over time and be players that can eventually become starters for the Packers. But right now, they're basically both on redshirt seasons. And then Andre Dillard is a complete unknown from a Green Bay standpoint as well. He's played, I don't know, a handful of snaps in garbage time this year. That's it. That's where you kind of want him. But as an eighth or ninth defender or offensive lineman that can come in a pinch, that has some experience, not a bad guy to have on your roster in case of emergency. I think overall they've navigated offensive line very well. They're a little bit thin right now. They've got their five starters and then Morgan is out for the year. And then the next one up probably Kadeem Telfort. So it becomes a little bit more of a mystery box, but overall I think they navigated offensive line very well. It's that special holiday time of year that we all love, but you know what can make it even better? Going to live games during the holidays. If you haven't been to Green Bay for a December game, you have no idea what you've been missing. Some of my all-time favorite football memories have happened in the snow in Green Bay. As we speak, I'm going through the Game Time app and looking at tickets to Monday Night Football for the family. Not only are there multiple options to choose from, but you can see the exact view and there are multiple super deals to choose from. The best part, their lowest price guarantee, which ensures you get the best price for your seats. All right, I might take that back, actually. There's an even better feature, all-in pricing. You can toggle this feature on so that you're getting the entire cost of the event up front with no surprise fees at checkout, because guess what? We all hate surprise fees. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets this holiday season with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. While the holiday season is always an amazing time of year, it's also super easy to lose track of your finances and overdo the spending while buying gifts, hosting dinners, or dressing up for holiday parties. That's where Kickoff can help. I discovered Kickoff Online while I was looking for ways to improve my credit and quickly found out how easy it was to sign up and how helpful it can be to improve your overall credit. If your credit is under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. You heard that right, your first month. You can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. And if you're still unconvinced, just know that Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% of them are 5 stars. Worry less about your credit and enjoy the holidays more with Kickoff. For a limited time, get your first month free. Go to kickoff.com/packaday today. Hurry for a month of free Kickoff without the C. Get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only. Subject to approval, average impact of 28-point increase is first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit card activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Defensive line, really only one move. They gave Kenny Clark a 3-year, $64 million extension. Now, this was one that I was preaching, or I guess going out of my way to say, hey, before it happened, I think if I were Green Bay, I would just let this contract go through this season. Like, let's see what Kenny looks like around age 30 after playing a ton of snaps in his career already in a new defense before you give him this brand new deal. Now, it's possible that Kenny was not going to play on that deal and he wasn't going to play this season unless he got a new deal. And some of that might have been part of the negotiations. But I would argue 3 years, $64 million does not look great in hindsight at the moment. I would argue that that extension so far has not aged the best. Now, he has played much better lately. And if this is the Kenny Clark that you get over the course of the next couple seasons, what we've seen over the last few weeks, then it ages fine. It's still probably a bit of an overpay, but he's such an important piece of this defense when he's on that I'm okay with it. But that was one that I was really pressing and saying, hey, I think just let him play it out. And if he plays great, then maybe in the offseason, you have to pay him 3 years, $75 million. Maybe that price goes up, but that's okay. It's not the end of the world. I would have let this play out a little bit more. And if he shows those signs of age or injury issues or just not fitting in this defense, then move on. But that was a tough one at the time for me. You love Kenny, right? You absolutely love Kenny. You want him to be a Packer. You want him to be part of the franchise. It's hard not to celebrate the extension for him because he's been the consummate Green Bay Packer. And so those are good things. And this is not one that I'm going to go out of my way to be like, oh my God, I can't believe. But he hasn't quite lived up to that 3 year, $64 million. I would even say that's probably being generous at this point. But love having him be a Green Bay Packer. Happy for him that he got that deal. And let's see what comes of it the rest of this season, the playoffs, and going on through the remainder of that contract. At defensive end slash edge rusher, they really did nothing outside of trading Preston Smith midseason, which was the right move to make. Pick up a couple million in salary cap space. Allow Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, Kingsley Nagbari, LVN to get some more snaps. And, just wasn't a fit within that defense. I thought that was a value add for Green Bay, plus picking up a 7th round pick in the process. So I thought that was positive. I think it worked out for Preston. He gets to go to a 3-4. I think it worked out for Pittsburgh. So that was just a deal that kind of worked for everyone. At linebacker, I'm going to go out on a limb and say letting Devondre Campbell go in free, or I think they actually cut him, but letting him go was the right choice. He signed in San Francisco. That did not go great, as you all know. Drafted Edgerrin Cooper in the 2nd round. That's gone pretty well. Tyron Hopper in the 3rd round, more of a grab bag, mystery bag. We're going to have to kind of wait and see to see what he can become. They brought back Eric Wilson, which was a good move. And then they did release Christian Welch, which I know is a hot topic at the end of camp of like, oh, you can't let that guy go. Look at the preseason he has. He's really not done anything. He's a good special teams guy. He's a little bit overage. I want to say he's like 27 years old already. So he's not like this 23, 24-year-old guy. But that was the right move. And bringing back Wilson has really paid dividends, especially on close to a vet minimum deal. And Edgerrin Cooper, obviously, absolute stud. And the decision to let Campbell go was a massive one. Hopper, a little bit more of a maybe not living up to that 3rd round pick quite yet, but a lot of time to go. Let's see what he does when he gets the opportunity out on the field at linebacker. Corner, this is the interesting one. We've talked about this in depth on another episode, but re-signing Keyshawn Nixon, 3 years, $18 million. Re-signing Corey Ballantyne, 1 year, $2.1 million with a $500K guarantee. Drafted Kalen King. They did also send Eric Stokes to Madison. That's been good so far. He has not had that same sort of injury issue, right? And then I think the big question here is just, did they do enough? And I think they were banking on a variety of different things. That Jair Alexander would stay healthy. He has not stayed healthy. That Keyshawn Nixon would become a really good legitimate corner. I think that one's not actually that far off. I think that one you actually are pretty fine with at the moment. 3 years, $18 million. He's given them a ton of versatility in the slot on the outside. Is he a great corner? No. Is he a solid, respectable corner? I actually think so. I don't think he's getting quite the credit that he deserves for how he's had to really live a portion of the season kind of as Green Bay's number one corner, which is no easy task, I might add. He's actually, I think, done admirably in that situation. But that one's okay. But Stokes would get back to form. That has not happened. Carrington Valentine would take a big jump. Now, maybe we're seeing that lately, a little bit more of a jump from Valentine, but we haven't seen a big jump over last year through the entirety of the season. That hasn't come to fruition. Kalen King hasn't worked out as a seventh-round flyer. Nobody else has really stepped up. That's the one position where I think if you look back at now, it's yes, we could talk about Cooper DeJean. Jerrion Jones was there in the third round if they wanted to take him instead of Hopper. There's definitely some options there, right? Like they could have found ways to improve that secondary via the draft. There was not a ton in free agency. I went through every possible option. Like there's just not much out there that makes a ton of sense in free agency. Kendall Fuller, maybe, but like even he has been okay and been injured in Miami. There's not a ton that you look back at the deals at any corner in free agency and be like, oh, look at what they could have done. It was a rough free agency class at that position. With that said, like there's fair to question if they did enough at that position, but you go back and look at it, even with the benefit of hindsight, and it's tough to find deals that made a ton of sense. There was no great corners available at the deadline that got moved other than Marshon Lattimore. He's only played one game. He was really banged up at the time. That was a pretty steep price to pay for Washington. It's just one of those things. You can't fix everything all at once. And if they get Jair back, I do think we've seen a step from Nixon. And then, of course, Javon Bullard's able to play in the slot. It's not the worst thing in the world, but that's one of the ones where you have questions of could they have found a way to try to do a little bit more. Safety, I think it's safe to say they did a massive improvement here, letting Rudy Ford, Darnell Savage, Jonathan Owens all find new homes, releasing Anthony Johnson Jr. at the end of camp, and then signing Xavier McKinney, 4 years, $67 million, drafting Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, as well as Ketan Oladapo, a complete makeover of the safety room. It has gone about as well as you could possibly imagine. Big time stuff from Goody there. Special teams went through a multitude of kickers. That process of Greg Joseph, Anders Carlson, Braden Narveson, all the other kickers that were there, that did not go great. But it got you to Brandon McManus, who's been kicking really, really well. And if it gets you to that point, where you now have a kicker in season and going into the playoffs that you trust, maybe the downside of all those other ones was worth it to get to this point. But early on, not great. But the pickup of McManus was a huge, huge pickup for Green Bay. Stuck with Daniel Whalen and Matt Orzech, which has seemingly been the right move. Orzech is, I think, really kind of settled into that role. Daniel Whalen's looked really, really good at punter. A little bit of a rough punt this past week, but overall, he's been fantastic. The re-signing of Keyshawn Nixon should also be talked about here, mainly due to the fact that I think they were expecting maybe these new kick return rules to be a little bit more beneficial for Keyshawn Nixon. That has not come to fruition. We're not seeing teams kick to him all that often, although it has happened a little bit more as of late. Overall, as we look at everything on the whole, not many question marks, right? Corner, could they have done a little bit more? Maybe. It's fair to ask. And then was the Kenny Clark deal the right deal to make? Those, I think, are the big two. I mean, everything else you have to feel pretty darn good about. The Jordan Love contract has aged well. Jeff Hafley's looking good. The Malik Willis deal going from Jones to Josh Jacobs has turned out well. You know, I think the draft, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, the remake of safety, Xavier McKinney. Like, there is so much that's gone well. And if the only real, like, major question marks are still a little bit of could they have done more at corner and maybe not give Kenny the deal, I think you feel really good about what Goody, Matt LaFleur, and the rest of this team did throughout the course of 2024 to upgrade the roster in a reasonable and, I think, significant way. And that's why I think Green Bay is 10-4 and is playing really great football and has a chance to make a run come January and hopefully into February. I would say, just to kind of wrap things up, I would say probably A-minus for, I'd probably just an A for Goody and company for what they've done to navigate this past year on roster building and team building and coaches and everything like that. So I'd say organization A, maybe A minus. I don't think I go quite A plus, but I probably just go a solid A for Green Bay for all the moves that they've made. Really nice job, and don't take it for granted. Those are tough things to do, and Green Bay navigated the 2024 year really, really well when it came to roster management and coach management. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, and SoCal Pack. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.